You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Fargo After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Fargo After Show.
All right. It's ladies' night on tonight's Woo-hoo! Fargo wrap-up. David is out, and we've got Marissa Serafini on the ones and twos.
What's up, ladies?
Hey.
Ladies' night.
Ladies' night. So, welcome, everybody. This is our wrap-up of Fargo, episode 4, Eating the Blame. My name is Oriana Leo, your host, and my lovely ladies to the left helping me round out the panel.
My name is Jillian Leff. Hi, guys.
I'm Sarah Huggins. Hello.
And first of all, we would love to thank the Fargo fan club for putting us back on the top 10 list.
Woohoo!
Thank you very much. And we do love your comments again on YouTube and iTunes. Thanks for thumbs up or giving us a star rating on iTunes. We really appreciate it. So starting off this episode, it's 1987.
Bringing us back to the flick, are we, Ariana?
Yes, I am. So it's 1987. We see Stavros' wife and child, a very sad scene, on this frozen tundra running out of gas. I didn't think it was our Stavros, though. I knew it was because of the name, but
right.
The resemblance, did you put it?
Not so much.
Obviously, if the wife did not say his name, I don't think we would have put two and two together.
Sure.
But we do see a very desperate man. Mm-hmm. Which sort of reminds me of, you know, Lester, or our main character in the actual Fargo movie, a very desperate man willing to do anything,
literally
sort of at his wit's end.
Sell his soul.
Really willing to do anything. And he is, you know, he jumps out of the car, they're out of gas, he's going to go take a look, and the semi-truck comes by, doesn't stop, doesn't even slow down. Mm-hmm. But while Stavros is on the ground with his face full of snow... He says a prayer, and I actually wrote it down because he said, "Let us prosper in the smallest of ways, and I'll be your humble servant for the rest of my days." He was a poet, and he didn't even know it. but he says this prayer, and I think we can all relate to that moment of feeling so desperate,
right,
and so just low that there's nothing else. We're going to pray to God, just please save us in some way. Show us a sign.
Do tell.
In some way.
Tell us about your experience.
Well, that's going to take a whole nother hour. So, but I mean, I could really relate to him. I really felt like, I mean, what's he going to do? There's a baby in the car. Mm-hmm. They're on a frozen tundra. They have no gas and they have no money.
I mean, he's the provider. You know, it's...
Plus his wife's kind of like a... Doesn't seem like the nicest lady.
Well, she was like,
she's pretty
she was like
up.
Mrs. Nygaard, may she rest in peace.
Yeah. Yes.
a little bit of a biatch.
Like,
I feel like the ladies are very nice in general.
No. And it might be the cold temperatures. I don't know. But I was actually had that moment when they were in the car and what's his name? Stavros says, "Give me a second. I need to think." I was like, you can't talk to your man like this. He could kill you.
I thought he was
going
to.
Do you know
what
I mean? Like, I thought he might snap. I mean, you cannot. Ladies, okay? This is just a public service announcement. Ladies at home, be careful of the tone you take with your man. He might have a weapon.
I guess.
Okay.
Just snap one day.
And let me say it the other way around as well. Be careful.
Yes.
The other
yes. gentleman. Yes. No, you know you should never talk to your lady. We don't have to tell you that, right?
But we do see that Stavros sort of has a moment where he connects with God or he sees... the window scraper,
mm-hmm.
propped in the snow.
I had a major moment where I just went, "That's the money!"
Oh, yeah, Rihanna and I were like, "Oh,
the money from the movie."
Thank you for finally bringing it full circle, Fargo writers.
Yes.
Do you think that's the last time that's going to happen?
I hope not.
It was really nice. That was my feeling. It was really nice to see the dots connect. Finally.
Yeah. I was hoping that it was going to be some sort of fun way how Stavros came into the money. Mm-hmm. Because the wife always alluded to, you know, she really didn't know what happened.
Right.
So I hope that we've seen the beginning of the story and we've seen the tail end of his story, but I want to see the middle.
Right.
You know, like, so did he, is that wife gone? Or is that the same woman?
And she just looks a lot better now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's what I was guessing. My assumption was that, you know, they got rich, which tends to make one look much better, mm-hmm. right? Because being poor makes you look haggard. You're tired, right? You're trying to take care of your family. It really doesn't look good. And then you get all this money and you can afford nice clothes and nice things and, you know, some luxury items and right. some time off.
A but trainer. Also,
a trainer, yes. right? A trainer, that helps.
/ boyfriend.
Although it doesn't, you know, money does not buy reverse happiness. Aging because apparently right. it's past the 40-year mark is what ruined her nether regions, according to Stavros, and why he wants the divorce in the first place.
Right. Such a creep.
Such a creeper. So what the main thing that we get from this, though, is that he says God is real. Mm-hmm. Right? So we know that he has this belief system that we've seen in this scene that does come to play a little bit later. Now, we were kind of arguing about was the plumber that came to check Stavros's pipes, was that the trainer? You guys thought it was someone else. I thought it was the same guy. Because he has the same...
I think it's someone else.
I thought it was someone else,
okay,
too.
So we have two differing opinions. My thought was that it's the same guy, and he's saying, and God sent a plague upon the land, you better get right with the Lord. And that's part of the whole mind trick that Lauren has set him up to do.
But how would he know to do that, though?
Also, the way that he looked at him when he saw Lauren standing in the driveway... He was just like, he was confused. Like, he didn't know him.
Good point.
And then he got into the car.
So, I was mainly confused because of the chin hair.
And the fake tan.
And the fake tan right. facial structure just kind of seemed like looked really familiar.
But maybe it was like that on purpose.
Okay, well, fans, you know. We know you know. So please tell us.
Yes.
If you would tweet me, actually, that would be great so I would know. I don't have to go back and read all the comments. That would be awesome. Yeah. I'll read them later, but I want to know, like,
could
right
put them
now
there too.
At Miss Oriana Leo on
Oh,
Twitter.
Yeah, that would be great right now.
Yeah, I want to know right now.
Real time.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know yet, but we see Lauren is watching. Mm-hmm.
He's always watching.
What is this about? He's in the bushes. He's watching.
He wants to just make sure that everything goes according to his little plan. He needs to make sure that Stavros is still freaked out. Because, you know, the guy almost couldn't believe that there was blood in his pipes.
Yeah, he thinks he's crazy.
Yeah. He calls him crazy.
Yeah, he does actually call him crazy, which you mentioned, Julian, is never a good idea. Yeah.
Which I also thought that was going to end in some sort of weird death in that pool as the plumber was walking away.
I thought he was going to throw him in the pool or something.
Clearly Stavros is completely tweaking. Not only has he been taking Ritalin like it's aspirin,
right.
Which is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. Ritalin by itself is a huge issue if you don't need it. So he is just already, his anxiety level is super high. So anything that happens to him, it's going to be sort of magnified in his mind.
Absolutely.
He's on the crazy bus.
Yeah, he definitely thinks he's going. I mean, the way he touched his head in right. that one scene, it kind of looked like he thought,
I mean,
maybe,
wouldn't you?
What, his hair was falling off?
Yeah, like something is going in wrong inside his head.
But if all that stuff was happening to me, I would be flipping out as well.
Yeah.
So.
Especially being the king.
Right.
I think you'd have a certain level of expectation that everything goes right for you.
Right.
You can get to the bottom of it, get the answers. And I think this is probably the first time for Stavros in a long time that he hasn't had the answers, that things aren't going his way.
Exactly.
But we know that he made this pledge to God. And so now it's getting into his head that perhaps
he hasn't been as good as he could have been over the past few years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then we see Gus G. I don't know if you guys picked up Gus G. That's what I wrote down. Gus Grimley.
Totally fine.
Gus G.
The Grimster.
So when he gets called on to the canine murder, did you notice when he goes, he's saying, isn't that for animal control? Like, oh, no, he's out sick. And he goes, gosh, he's always out sick. What does he have, the cancer? And she goes, yeah, he has leukemia.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
I just love, that was the first thing I wrote down, is that in Duluth, a dead dog is a big deal. I mean, not to say, I mean, I love animals and everything, but in Los Angeles, if a dog is killed, sadly, the cops are not called out for it.
No.
So.
Yeah.
This is a murdered canine.
It's a murdered canine, which he does bring up a good point. Is it murder if it's a canine? I don't know.
What is the definition of murder? Yeah. Does it say human? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if you kill a locust, like later, if you kill a cricket, is that murder? I mean, we can get into the whole existential discussion, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, not today, ladies, not today.
I would like to say, I think we should start counting how many times Audgies is used every episode. I didn't get to do it this time because I was a little late.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but so starting next week, I'm going to do it. Okay. And then... Also, there's a lot of bathroom scenes, but I don't know if there are as many as Audgies is. So, I was going to count those, too, but we'll pass.
I concur. I think those are absolutely great.
Right?
Yes.
All right.
I love it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to monitor.
Well, Gus definitely spoke the most Audgies in this episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we sort of see him for the first time, I think, in his entire career as an officer of the law, arrest someone.
Mm-hmm. That was so embarrassing.
Where were the Miranda rights? I watch SVU. Yeah. I know these things. Yeah.
No Miranda rights.
The first thing I said.
Ice-T has taught me them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Ice-T knows his Miranda rights. I mean, but even, like, he doesn't even say, he says, for what charge? He just says, we'll figure that out at the station. I mean, like you said, all you have to do is watch a little bit of television to know that that's not the way it's supposed to be done.
But I love that Lauren didn't even see... He was just kind of like, I'm definitely going to get out of this. Like, he didn't seem scared at all.
Okay, so I was wondering, why is he messing with his hair? Remember, he pushed his bangs back right before... Mm-hmm. While he's pretending to be on the phone.
Right, yeah, like, it makes that big of a difference.
Well, so here's the thing. I was thinking, well, that's weird. There's got to be something about it, but later on, he really does look different when he's got the glasses, the sweater, his hair is pulled back, and they compare it to the photo they have. He looks really different. So this guy has it all figured out, right? I mean, not only does he have his alternative identity as the minister, but he even knows that he can toy with this guy by telling him he's on the phone, and he knows he's not going to put it down. It's a brand new phone, and meanwhile, change his hairstyle.
Yeah, he knew. He knew as soon as Gus looked at him, walked over to him.
Yeah.
He knew it was going to happen.
What was going to happen, Jillian?
No, he knew.
He said, you're going to tell me you're making a mistake.
You're making a mistake, and you know what? Gus ended up telling his boss that he's making a mistake.
Just a few hours later. Yeah. That must have felt
foreshadowing.
Crappy.
Well, you know, actually, who probably felt crappier in this episode? Molly.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
She cannot catch a break, that woman. She is so smart, and it's just, you know, for the life of him, the chief, what is his name?
He's so mean.
Oswald. Yeah, Sheriff Oswald, he just doesn't want anything to do with her.
Okay, so when Molly sits down at her computer, other than the Asian swordfish porn, I did not catch what was coming up.
Also, fans, is that a thing?
Yeah.
We were like...
Why was that coming through? Like, I thought maybe that was the chief's computer, but it wasn't.
Oh, maybe. Pterodactyl porn's a thing. Just a side note. Okay. So I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt if that was a thing.
I think maybe she, because you know how, well, it takes place in what, 2006? No. So obviously she was on a PC and there's viruses. It's not like, we're not in the Mac ages.
No, not yet.
Back then, at least it wasn't like super mainstream, but maybe it was just a, you know, a rogue website that she decided to click on.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's just
probably. We're going to go with that.
But you know what? Maybe, I mean, fishing aficionados. Say that 10 times fast. Maybe that's what they would like
that's
to look
true.
At.
That's true.
Also, maybe it's like a clue for us because she's been fishing for a lot of answers.
Ooh. That's
Who
true.
Knows?
But why the Asian
girls? I know. I don't want to bring Asian girls in bikinis into it, but I'm just saying maybe it's a message. Maybe it's a message.
Okay. Well, we will find out.
Yeah.
So Gus calls Molly, mm-hmm. and it really juxtaposes their two different styles, experience levels, intellect. I mean, he's saying, oh, we got the guy. And she's like, whom? You know, doing what, where, how?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have really answers to anything.
But I loved how she played coy. Who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? I was like, oh, are we playing the game now?
Right.
Is that what we're doing?
I know. And I couldn't. Yeah, that was what I was like. Is this about the case or is this the love connection? Oh, we shared shakes the other night?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yes.
I love that that's like a thing.
I know. That's one so one of them had bourbon.
Ooh,
but just one.
Yeah.
So she has to go into Chief Oswald's office and to interrupt Stormwatch 2006.
Right.
In which he's debriefing everyone to let them know if they'd like to make some extra money snow plowing, they could go right ahead.
Clearly it's slim pickings on the
yeah
jobs there.
Exactly. And the poor thing, I mean, she wants to go, but it made me wonder why she even said anything. I mean, she never explained the situation before. Mm-hmm. Why would she do it now? She seems like she needs to pick either, you know, ask, you know, what is the saying when you just do it and ask for forgiveness?
Ask for forgiveness, ask for not permission.
Right. She's already done that before. Why wouldn't she just stick with it?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I feel bad for her, but also I feel like if she's really that much of a, like, she really wants this that bad, she should just be doing it anyway.
I know. But, I mean,
she looks so beat down.
She looks so beat down. And you have to feel for her, I mean, as the only woman around. Mm-hmm. And then also the only one who has any sense to connect these things and to be working them.
Right.
It's got to be so frustrating for her. But, you know, she did. She should have kept her mouth shut, I really think.
Yeah. I do, too. So, I mean, but little things that she did came creeping out when, like, they were like, oh, Molly put the picture in the file. And the chief was like, oh, I didn't see that.
I know. I think there's really no way for her to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, if she goes behind his back, he's just going to fire her or something, right, you know. Right. So she has to figure out
how to do it incognito.
She has to figure out, this is what we all have to figure out.
Tell us.
Is life lessons. How to get, yeah, it's true, how to get what you want while convincing your superiors that it's what they want too, right? Because if you come off as a threat, you can't get what you want to get done. But if you can be seen as an asset, an ally, and sometimes you have to, I don't know, manipulate the situation.
Right.
I have been watching a lot of Damages, though. Gotcha. So that might be influencing
my
thinking.
Maybe you need to give Molly a call.
Yes.
Give
her some Should I call advice. Molly?
Like, step girl.
So we then get to see inside Lester's house, and we finally get a voice, his brother, who actually says, ew.
Dude. Yeah.
What?
Oh, don't you know? Well, there's a service we could have called for that.
Right. I mean, he does talk about the service. It's like, well, that should be mandatory.
Why didn't you call it? So, you know, his brother is like, are you serious? They left the house like this. There's blood on the ground. There's like DNA everywhere. And Lester says, oh, yeah, there's a number they leave you to call and they'll clean it up. And my first question is, well, why wouldn't you have done that?
Right. Because he's still not ready to take care of his hand. He's not ready to
do anything,
no.
Take care of anything, take responsibility. He's not even good. He can't even, like, effectively cover up his crime.
No.
He can't do anything. I'm starting to really side with his wife. God rest her soul.
Yeah. The hammer is still downstairs.
In the washing machine. What is wrong with him? He's going to lose his hand. Gross.
I don't think he's going to lose
it. Oh, my God. So gross.
That thing is festering.
Okay. People. So he goes. He wants to go in the room. He grabs the suitcase. It touches his hand. And he unravels it. And I, like...
You guys just about passed out.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe I have a super vivid imagination. Fans, I'd love to know what you guys were thinking. But when he unwrapped it, I was afraid I was going to, like, smell it. Like, that's how much. Because, literally, that kind of wound would be stinky.
So much pus.
Ugh. Gross. I don't like that word.
See? See? That's what I was feeling.
Pussy.
Yep. It was all swollen, and he needs to get it figured out. Was he trying to take... He was trying to pull something out of it?
I have no idea what he was trying to do.
Is the casing still stuck in there? The little...
I mean...
No, right? I don't think so. I thought it was like a burn in the beginning, right?
I have no idea.
It was some kind of burn of damage on his hand that he's just never treated. All he had to do was get the ointment, but no. Now it's so nasty and festering and disgusting. But yeah, he was trying to do something.
But then he got a phone call.
I thought maybe he would pinch it, like before he was pinching the pus out of it.
Well, thank God the phone call stopped.
Yeah, so then the phone rings, and who is it?
Hot man meat.
Adam Goldberg, a.k.a. Mr. Numbers.
But he didn't announce himself. He didn't say that.
Oh, but
was.
We knew.
We knew it was him.
We knew it was
him. We knew that voice.
But he calls and he threatens. And he says, was it worth it? Worth what? Your life.
Well, and he was talking about Mrs. Hess. They're like, well, what they thought was a
love affair. Romp. But he's accusing him of, like, you know, banging Mrs. Hess every night. Which it looked like that was just a, you know, she was just showing him how good she stretches.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, they were watching and...
Typical stripper.
depending on how long they had been watching, if they had just gotten there, I can understand how they would think that there was something else going on.
And clearly
on.
These guys don't really care to find out the whole story, right? Right. I mean, all they want to do is make him squeal, make him say it, then they'll kill him, then they'll feel better.
And the job's over.
Right.
It's done.
And that's what they care about most, right?
Their hands are clean.
They want their job to be done and get paid. Mm-hmm. So we know that that's what they're after. And we see them at the diner.
Subtitles.
Finally!
First time.
That was really cool. I loved the way they did that. Mr. Wrench and Mr. Numbers at the diner fighting in American Sign Language. But I thought it was weird when I thought Mr. Numbers sat down, he was going to start eating. And then he fights like nobody likes to be watched while they're eating. But then the whole thing ends so quickly. Neither of them eat. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. So they, like, they seem like they're legitimately mad at each other. They're having a lover's quarrel of some kind.
Right.
Like, they don't agree with how they're going about this job.
Yeah, I think, well, isn't it Mr. Numbers that's saying, you know, we need to scare him, and that's the way we're going to get him to talk?
Right.
Yeah, well, Mr. Wrench is saying we can't be sure. Like, we can't go ahead and do it unless we're sure. And Mr. Numbers doesn't seem to care as much about being sure. He just wants to do it.
He's like, all we need to do is hear him say it, and then it's done.
Right. Which is enough for him. But, you know, I guess, the argument is concluded by Mr. Wrench saying, all right, we'll scare him and get the truth out of him and make him talk. Of course, we see that that's not exactly what happens.
Which I could see. I mean, I know obviously the way it played out, but I could see Lester. He's not a very strong man. Like, I could see him admitting to a crime that he did not commit.
Right? Yeah, well, and also, why wouldn't they just torture him? I mean, it seems like stick something in that wound.
Ew.
And he would tell them anything he wanted to.
Well, I think that they had every intention of using the ice hole that he was drilling. Right. After they captured him.
Sure, but not for torture.
I mean,
to dump him in?
I think that they just were going to kill him either way.
Yeah. I think Mr. Numbers wants to kill him either way. Mr. Wrench wants there to be something, but I know, right? They're two thugs, so who knows what they're real...
Their job.
They want to get paid, right? Yeah. So we get taken over to... Back to Duluth... the Duluth PD. We see Chief Oswald. And they are ushering in... Our minister. What a fantastic scene.
Yeah. That was
Billy Bob, I have to say. Such a great scene to think that, like, Billy Bob is acting as a character who's acting as another character.
Right. Yeah.
That really tripped me out.
A lot of layers.
Yeah.
And this Minister Peterson, that was from upstate in Minnesota, I guess, he really had his info down.
Right.
Like, I was really surprised that he just rattled off all these names.
I love how he was talking about it was bingo night.
Well, this is what we have to remember, right? We have to think back to the first episode where we are introduced to Lorne Malvo's boss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who puts everything together for him. So this is a professional undertaking. It's
that has, like, 16 regular Rotary Dial phones.
Yeah.
That's professional.
Right.
I mean, it's not just, like, a hobby that he has.
No.
You know, this is... He works for somebody that legitimately steals identities.
This isn't his first rodeo.
Yeah. Now,
absolutely.
We don't know if the minister is a real person.
He's got to be.
He has to be real.
Because it looked like if the police officers did their job, which that might be a stretch, that they actually made the phone calls and checked. But they got all. He got all these. He gave them names, places, everything. And if they even just called one of the people and asked about, "Do you know Minister Peterson?" They said yes. I mean,
right?
Well, they did. They did call. They called one place.
So he has to be a real person.
And he hung up and he said, "Well, he sounds like an upstanding citizen." And there we go.
And he is an upstanding citizen. He just wasn't there being interrogated.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it kind of, like you said, it goes to show the level of sophistication of the world that Lorne comes from.
But this is the thing. Speaking about sophistication, what I was baffled by is that Lorne used his actual name in the innkeeper's book. Now, I'm sorry, but if you are that good at what you do,
but
there has to be a reason why
every
you put
move
that
is
name
calculated,
down.
Though. Is that?
So we may know that Lorne. We may find out that's not his real name. That's just an alias he uses a lot.
That's true,
right? Or maybe he's leaving breadcrumbs for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. I mean, I just remember specifically that scene at the motel was so bizarre, right? He gave the woman so much grief about the pet policy.
Right.
And he gave the son a lot of grief about taking grief from his mom and told her what he should do.
Yeah.
Like, that was our real introduction to what a total just maniacal beast this guy is. And he put his real name. There's got to be a reason.
I wonder if it's just so that, because he knows that the police know his mm-hmm. name. Yeah. So I feel like if that, you know, Lorne, if it's him or, you know, whoever it is, if that person just falls off the face of the planet, it is a lot more suspicious than if, you know, he's seen a couple of places. So maybe that's why. Maybe
and like you said, it's planting breadcrumbs, though, in the right. sense that if the police go to him and say, Lorne Melville, well, now he knows that a certain dot has been connected.
Right.
So he purposely makes himself memorable in every situation that he's in.
Right.
Regardless of the name. The name means nothing.
Very true.
Every situation, you know, that's why the kid at the inn, he saw his picture and knew exactly who he was. Everyone sees a speck of him and knows exactly who he is. So there also has to be a reason why he's not trying to be so more stealthy about the things that he does.
Mm-hmm. He has, well, he's got that sociopathic side to him where
he like gets off on
it.
Right.
He enjoys it. Yeah. And he's so confident that mm-hmm. he will not get caught.
Right.
He's so utterly confident.
But he's like, I mean,
he has every reason to be.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't seem scared at all. He wasn't shaken by that whole experience.
At all.
No.
I mean, and what does he do when he turns around and says, when Gus Grimley, you know, talks to him and says, Lorne Melville, and he turns around, he doesn't even
He gives him a riddle.
He gives him a riddle. He doesn't even really address the issue at hand. He just says, the human eye can see more shades of green than any other color. When you figure out the answer to that, then you'll know the answer to your question.
Which I honestly didn't know the answer to at first. No. I needed Molly Sol person to solve this riddle for me.
So did I.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty impressive. I just to go back to Minister Peterson's performance about bingo night and his glaucoma in one eye. I mean, the details of the story he gave were so compelling and convincing.
Right.
And that's something I wonder, like, was that given to him? Was the profile given to him that he has glaucoma in one eye?
Right.
Or did he make that up? Because part of those details are what makes stories interesting and makes stories true.
Right.
So when you go to the police or if you're going to be investigated for anything, if there's nothing that stands out, it's going to be suspicious.
Right.
So for him to have a reason for I would never speed because I have glaucoma, like,
right.
it just was so perfect.
He knew he was going to get arrested. That's fine.
He sure did. But it just, I'm like, this guy's mind.
Yeah.
He's insane. So what we do find, is that when the motel owners are talking about him and they know, you know, they have his name, the son mentions that he had tokens from the Lucky Penny. Was that the strip club? Do we know what the Lucky Penny is?
Oh, that would be a good point. I feel like that's a strip club name.
That's what Jillian said.
I thought strip club right away. I don't remember.
Yeah, fans, tweet us.
Yeah,
let
what
us
was
know.
The Lucky
the
Penny?
The tokens from the Lucky Penny. I feel like that's going to mean something at some point. And I...
Well, it meant something to Molly.
It sure did. And I don't... Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
I just can't remember.
There's so many little things.
Yeah.
So, Lauren leaves the jail and meets with our trainer with a haul from the pet store. We don't know at the time what it is.
Right.
We just know that he's been there.
I thought it was rats.
Why?
I don't know, because he said there was only 100 or in the pet store, and I was like, oh, like 100 rats. I guess that's a lot of rats, but he wanted more.
Or could
I was
it
like,
be locusts?
That's what it was. So that was quite an amazing scene.
I loved that when he was like, do I sound like your mom?
Yes, right.
That was like my favorite line out of the whole episode.
Who is this? Who else knows that you're in the pet store?
My mom. Mom.
Idiot.
But she thinks I'm getting a cat. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Lester has a great, I mean, I'm sorry, Lauren has an amazing knack for picking just the dumbest people that are easily influenced.
Yeah.
I mean, for his level of genius, I don't really know how he manages it, but no. I guess it's just his sick genius. Meanwhile, we've got Mr. Numbers and Mr. Rent kidnapping our favorite Lester the Loser. Mm. And he calls his brother from the trunk.
Okay. This was really confusing for me.
Okay, tell us why.
Because I didn't understand why he changed his whole, he was like, I'm being kidnapped, and then he was like, okay, never mind. I'm just playing a joke on you.
Because he doesn't want to weave any sort of tangled web. It's very reminiscent of the main character in the film, mm-hmm. in the sense that he felt like he could solve everything himself. You know, everyone wanted to get involved mm-hmm. with the character in the film. The son wanted to get involved. His wife's father wanted to get involved. Right. But he's like, no, no, no. I need to do this by myself.
Right.
So and he just made that decision in the middle of...
Well, he saw the taser, and he was like, right. I think maybe I can do this.
Right. But he's can't do anything. No. Why right. would he think he could do... Why does he think he can do anything? He can't do anything. That's the thing, is that he can't do anything.
Well, he did something this episode.
He did.
He thought he did something.
He thought he did something.
That's true.
So he does have the taser, and there was a prediction by one of the fans on YouTube that said that the taser that he pocketed at his brother's house was going to come into play this episode. So you were right. Ding, ding, ding. Yay, prize. Yay. So he does, you know, get the opportunity to use it on Mr. Numbers by having him get closer. But, I mean, with no real strategy other than run to the road. And, of course, while he's running through the bush, through the trees, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this could be the exact ending of the naked guy.
The frozen dead guy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this isn't the
frozen
kind of...
Frozen dead guy number two.
Yeah, this isn't the kind of place where you just want to run off.
No.
But he does make it to the road. And, of course, same thing. I'm thinking, why doesn't he say, please help me?
Yeah.
Right.
There's two men that just took me and they just were digging an ice hole ready to put me in it. They would have evidence, you know. But no. He instead assaults a police officer so he can get himself arrested.
Right.
Genius move.
It actually is kind of smart.
I mean.
But he was panicking.
Yeah.
I love how many cops are in these towns. Like, I feel like they outnumber the regular common folk.
Well, they probably do. I mean...
For what purpose?
Well, first of all, jobs.
Yeah.
True. Economy. True. We need to have a good employment staff, right?
Right.
And I don't know. I
just love how there's a cop in every
turn.
But
you've been to small towns.
I'm from a small town.
So I have a family in Massachusetts, okay? So in Boston, not as many police, but then you go out to Plymouth and you go to the surrounding areas. There's speed traps everywhere. You know, you go from a 35 to a 25, you don't slow down, ticket. I mean, that's the way it is. Right. Keeping the peace.
Yeah, I getcha.
So he does manage to tase this guy, which doesn't seem like a great idea in the long run because they're already trying to kill you.
Right.
Like, I mean, I guess he had to do it for survival, but boy, is he going to be mad. He thinks he gets away.
Right.
So he goes to jail where he thinks he's going to be safe. Oh, my God, the poor guy.
I loved right before, you know, the guys came in, he was sort of pressing down on the bench just to, you know, see, oh, this is nice and firm. Like, maybe I can just lay down on this. And as he's laying down.
The guys come in. Testing it, like, as if, I don't know what is, what, I don't know what he's not feeling from his ass.
What, cement?
Yes.
Right.
He's testing it, like, maybe I could lie on this. It just says so much about his character, the way that he perceives his surroundings in life. Like, he can't even commit to just laying down. Yeah. He's going to test it out, make sure it's really concrete.
The end of that whole ordeal... I just cannot get Adam Goldberg's smile out of my face. It was like the best smile between this super dark beard. And he was just like, yes. So much yes.
The floor length fur coat just amazing. So much yes. Like, it just stands out. So you can imagine if you saw someone in Bemidji wearing a floor length full coat, fur coat, it would really stand out. But so far, no one's taken notice.
I love that. I thought it was a great way to kind of like, well, I mean, they sort of,
Yeah, well, we might as well.
They ended it. Yeah, I mean.
So I was just going to jump to Stavros. Yeah. We see him losing it in his office.
Right.
He's in this like Adderall or Ritalin induced neuroses state. Where he's just typing away in his calculator, like if he could just work any faster, which he can't. And his son comes in and he's upset about the way that his father's been treating his mother.
I think that he, like, I don't think we find out why he's actually upset.
No, I don't.
We
either.
Don't.
No, because we don't. He just says, I want to talk to you about mom and the way you've been treating her.
Oh, he says treating her? Yeah. See, I missed that
You've
part.
Been really mean.
But he doesn't, like, get into specifics.
But he doesn't get into it. He starts crying.
Right.
And is like, well, what, are you really crying? You know, and he mentions that it's kill or be killed, son. And then that's when he sees the locust, kills it, and explains it's kill or be killed.
So many crickets, you guys.
Which is really interesting about...
They're locusts.
They are crickets, locusts, same thing. But you fans were right. Last week when we were talking about why was Lauren, you know, the Moses story. Well, it is true. The plagues have come upon Stavros, have we seen. Locusts or cricket relatives, whatever they are.
I like that cricket relatives.
They have definitely plagued this particular market. I cannot imagine being a customer in that grocery store. Ew. Can you imagine being in a grocery store, wheeling your cart, getting an apple, and then having a bug land on your hand?
I would have been that woman that had to be helped up at the end. Just,
yeah.
Slipping and sliding on insects. I have a major insect phobia.
Oh, me too.
Sorry. So he gets a call, and it has a scrambled voice on it asking for $1 million. Mm-hmm. So we now know, you know, we know that Lauren is in charge. He's hijacked this whole operation. And then we see Stavros again saying, God is real. I don't know why it's taken so long, like why the bloodbath wasn't enough for him. Literally, the bloodbath. Oh. But now this plague of locusts hopefully will be enough for him to change his ways. I'm really wondering what Lauren is trying to get out of this other than the money. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of personal satisfaction?
I think that he satisfied every single trick that he puts on this guy.
Do you think he wants him to repent or behave in a different way?
No, I think he's just enjoying this whole thing.
It's all about the ride.
Yeah.
It's the journey, not the destination. Yeah. So we see our gentleman in the bar, which I loved inside the bar, that there's the bar says swine line
on it. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
As if the patrons are pigs, which we find out they are, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
They have a knockdown, drag-down fight about probably what?
Probably nothing, and that's why they end up in jail. Because really, there's no better thing to do with somebody that's causing trouble than to just throw them in the drunk tank.
Yeah.
Now, did they do this on purpose? Because they know that Lester is in jail. Well, they see him arrested. They don't know. They can't know.
Did they see him get arrested?
They saw him get arrested and get put in the car.
Then for sure, 100%.
Yeah, I think it was calculated because Mr. Numbers was already drunk when he got to the bar. Yeah. The bartender was like, you've already had some.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's all scheming. Like, all of these guys that are con men and killers, there's all motive for every... Everything is calculated.
Yes. And it is this kill or be killed mentality that Stavros talks about. But I don't know. It's hard to imagine that they would have done that on purpose. But at the same time, how else were they going to get to Lester?
Yeah. Right.
So they must have. So poor Lester. And we end the episode with him meeting his kidnappers in jail.
And I think one more thing... Molly answers the riddle.
She sure does.
And she says that we can see many shades of green because of predators.
So
green is envy.
The big question
is... Or money.
If the answer is predators, if the answer is, you know, if the question that Lauren asks is why can we see more shades of green than any other color, and the answer is predators, what does that answer for Gus Grimley? What question was he asking in the first place? He was saying, why do you lie? How can you just lie like that? He was so upset. Like, how can you be this way? And then he gives him this riddle. So if the answer is predators, I feel like it only points back to Lauren's worldview about this, what Stavros says. It's kill or be killed.
Yeah.
So he lies for self-preservation. He lies to save himself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Against the predators.
Sees everyone else as predators.
I like that. Yeah.
I don't know. Remember in the beginning how I was feeling so strongly about how Lauren feels like he's doing everything. It's like a positive thing that he's doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that goes along with what you just said. You know, he is feeling like all of his actions are justified.
Through his worldview.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The whole thing, he's so effed up. I can't
get behind that mind.
Well, by Tuesday, you're drunk the whole day. I mean, it's just...
It's kind of amazing.
I can't wait to see what happens to the character just because he is so twisted in himself.
Right.
That he's really weaving the main web.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
I can't even... I feel like we got to see so much more into his just, like, crazy sociopathic mind this episode. I'm so excited for more. Me too. Speaking of which, do we have any news and gossip?
I mean, I don't. Do
you? I don't either. Do you?
Well, Marissa, we can still play our little news and gossip.
TV news. Hey, guys.
So the one thing I can tell you is that I've been working on getting Adam Goldberg to come in, and it looks like he's very busy right now. I'm still going to continue the Twitter campaign, so fans, if you'd like to tweet him, maybe we can get him to at least do a call-in interview. I think that would be great
to get.
Doesn't
have to be long.
Yeah, it could be 10 or 20 minutes. So Adam Goldberg, if you're listening, or fans, if you want to tweet him, at Adam Goldberg, I believe, or the Adam Goldberg.
I think it's the Adam Goldberg.
Yeah, at the Adam Goldberg on Twitter. Tweet him. And then also, I've been tweeting Allison Tolman, who plays our Molly Salverson.
As have I.
Yes.
We'd love to have her on. And again, fans, anyone you want to have on, let us know, and please tweet them. We can do kind of a coordinated campaign to try to get some guests in our studio.
Yay.
Moving on.
Yes.
To predictions.
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we were lucky enough this time to see both a recap in the beginning and the previews, which we haven't seen all of those all together yet, I don't think. So given all the information that we saw, Jillian?
So I wrote down two things. Number one, romance. I think the fire is finally going to be ignited between Gus and Molly, which I'm super excited about. And then also, poor Greta, Lorne is shopping for a police scanner. So I think that it's going to have something to do with Gus and his daughter's conversations. Because Lorne did warn Gus.
I know, and that was something I was thinking when he went after him.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, what are you doing?
He's not someone you want to mess with.
Exactly. This is not someone you want to mess with. He warned you, and this is the reason you didn't take it to the cops in the first place was because of your daughter. Right. And he seemed to have forgotten that part.
So, that's mine.
Mine are exactly the same. I hope that we get to maybe a kiss. I don't know. I don't know.
Oriana, what do you think?
Well, I would love to see a romance. I have a really hard time believing.
I feel like that would be awkward if they kissed.
I just have a hard time seeing Molly
taking another
cop that's not really good at his job.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
He's already surrounded by these incompetent men. Right. And Gus has kind of demonstrated his incompetence.
That's true.
However, I mean, a girl's got to get it sometimes. Yeah, so you never know. I would love to see. I predict another bathroom scene.
Okay, perfect.
Shocker.
And we really hope that we get another pooping scene.
Yeah, this time it was just a number one.
It was, it would really, but it would make my life.
But I would like to say I love how they have a lot of serious conversations.
In the bathroom.
In the restroom.
Yeah, this is where a lot of business takes place.
Yes.
Both literally and literally, I think it's where all the business. So wrapping up our show, let's let everyone know where they can find you. Sarah, where can the people find you?
I am at Sarah on the go, Sarah with an H on Twitter, and SarahBear67 on Instagram.
You can find me on Twitter at Jillian Leff, or on Instagram at Jilly Leff, or if you're really feeling like Googling, you could find me on my website, JillianLeff.com.
And I'm going to comment and mimic just what she just said. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo, or same thing, if you really want to go online, check out OrianaLeo.com. We'd love to thank you so much for keeping us in the top 10 Fargo fan club.
Yay.
Please tweet us, hashtag Fargo fan club, hashtag Augies, and please rate us on iTunes and give us a thumbs up on YouTube. We will check you out next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.